This week on RSBNB Update, the mining and smithing beta is here, and we run through all the new mechanics and demystify its secrets while looking backwards and forwards on both skills. Also, thoughts on the value of the 2019 Premier Club package. This is RSBNB Update, episode 698, recorded Thursday, November 15th, 2018. The Brown Solution. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us once again for RSBNB Update. This week, we got something big, something that everyone's wanted to dip their feet into, to have a sip of, to have a taste of since February this year, and that's the Mining and Smithing Beta. Tanis, you're here as you are as your item of the week, as per usual.
Thank you, Shane. Yes, it's a big week. Been waiting.
Yeah, very big. Surprisingly calm, all things considered, but also joining us this week is Dave. He's the one who composed that beautiful intro and closeout music for us this spring, so welcome back.
Glad to be back, and for a topic that is near and dear to my heart, the mining and smithing of which was my first 99.
Precisely, and that's why I thought, who would be good to have on for this show? So there we go.
Definitely looking forward to it.
Okay, so, you know, it felt familiar. I just want to know, did it feel familiar to you guys logging into the beta, trying it out, or was that just because I played a bit of it at RuneFest and it already felt that way?
It's probably fresher for you, I would guess, because okay. You just did it again. But one thing that I did like was, to me, it felt just, I mean, it the same as it did back in February, only super polished. Like, it feels ready to go to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, for lack of a better term, it felt real, because back in February, at least how I remember it, it was basically just kind of like a no man's land.
Where
there was just a bunch of rocks lined up and half of them didn't have names, and you were basically just testing out rates and stuff. So I was actually – that's kind of what I expected when I logged in this week. But to see that it was actually basically the whole map that you could actually go around and find the rocks and where they were, I really liked that aspect.
Yeah, and for anyone wondering, this is a time-limited beta. It runs from November 13th to the 27th, and, you know, it's actually really simple to get into. All you need to do is, there's a little link in the news post that says, you know, simply click here to log into your existing RuneScape account. A new version of the client will pop up. It'll download a fresh cache, so then you just log into one of two beta worlds, and off you go. It's as simple as that to get going, and everything that you do on the beta will not be mirrored over to your main account, so don't get too comfortable with any levels that you get. And I was a little bit worried about going to do a Slayer task. I didn't want to get anything good on that task, just in case.
Some people getting third age from clues, and everybody was just,
yeah,
oh my gosh.
You know the illustrious Hazelmere Signet Ring.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't want to do too many Slayer tasks, just in case, you know, because that
didn't want to ruin your luck too.
That would be the worst, you know. Get a HSR and have it appear on the beta server.
Yeah, that would be terrible.
Yeah. So, anyways, you log in, pure copy of your RS account. Your stats are as is. You cannot set your stats around, which is good, I think, because everyone needs to play the beta as if it was your live account. One criticism on this, there's a guy you can talk to outside of the Artisan's Workshop. He has unlimited ore and bars and whatnot. You can just pick those up from him and pick up ores, bars, and even the tier 90 plus armor, tier 90 and tier 92 armor, if you want to do that, to test that out. I picked up a set of that for the Slayer test. So you can pick that up, but that's still no excuse to not go around testing other things and whatnot, like the actual side of the mining skill and the like. So just keep that in mind as we move forward with that.
Yeah. Now,
what did you guys think? I mean, obviously very familiar, right? Or very polished, I think. I think that's the general sense that we got, right?
Yeah. I mean, very, very much so. I wanted to just go back for a second, Shane, on the place where you click here to go to the beta
right.
Server. I think there is also another little link to a guide. And this, I highly recommend using this guide because this isn't like a simple little rework. Like you might want to have a guide with you.
Where is this?
This it's on the same page.
Oh,
as the
you can find out. Post. You can find out here. Okay, so this is the mm-hmm. yeah. This is actually where I actually do have this link in the show notes at update.rsmaybe.com. Sudi's MS rework wiki page on this basically covers everything under the sun here in terms of what you can expect, and you know, most of what's here is sorted out. So if you're seeing something that you're not sure if that's the way it's supposed to be, check this. Check the design documents as well. The design documents I do have linked in the show notes once again as well if you're looking for more specifics on any of the things that pop up. So yeah, that's actually good.
Right on.
That's actually a good call out, Tanis, on that. So
well, it helped me because I consider myself a veteran, but I still needed to look up the locations and stuff to find the ores I was looking for.
Yeah.
You know, I used it to figure out how the ore boxes worked and just things like that. So.
Yeah, and see, this is actually something I actually wanted to bring up on this is that in the mining and smithing beta, you can actually use the world map to find out where ores and whatnot are. The world map. You know, we don't normally think of the world map being useful, but if you look at the abandoned mine, you can find phasmatite there. What?
Only you would have figured that out because I went to the guide. I'm like, I don't know where any of this is.
Yeah.
I need to go to the guide.
Yeah.
Well, it only took me.
I would have never thought.
It only took me 15 minutes to find out where dark Animica ore is. So I mean,
dark Animica ore is in the Elven Lands.
Dig site.
Oh, dig site.
Yeah.
Right, that one's dig site. Light Animica is in the Elven Lands.
See, that's what's so cool about. At least about the beta so far, hopefully the overall update is it's thick, it's beefy. You know, that might turn some people off because it's going to take some time to really sink your teeth into
yeah.
it and get it down.
Yeah, we're
but
just
I actually
getting
think
started
that's what
this.
We, I mean, this is kind of what we need.
This
so.
Is what RSBNB update is built for, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, like they said, the lore reasons, you know, if a god died somewhere, that's where you'll find Animica, light Animica in the Elflands because that's near where Saren shattered herself, and dark Animica by the dig site because obviously Zaros and where that big grand battle happened, where he got stabbed and whatnot and then disappeared. So
I'm surprised it wasn't it Tumakin that blew himself up out there too?
That's in the desert, yeah. I think
okay.
if you look at it, you might actually find a source of some kind of Animica in the desert as well.
Yes, there. I was okay. just going to bring that up. There is light Animica right by the entrance to the smoke dungeon by Simona there.
Oh, okay, cool.
And one great thing about what they've done with the ore, as speaking as part of the mining update with this, is that every piece of every kind of ore in-game you can now get on the surface world or in a dungeon without needing to complete a quest. So in theory, you could do no quests, go all the way to 99 mining, and be able to mine all the ore in game.
That's cool.
So.
Gonna be some mining alts out there.
Yeah, there could be. There
feeling.
Could be. and you know, there's other fun little things too with the mining skill. Like each rock has a certain hardness to it, and your pickaxe has a penetration level. And if your penetration is, of course, higher than the hardness, you have an easier chance of getting that ore, and you gain more progress on it. So.
Shane, you sound so dirty. You dirty boy with all your penetration talk.
Thank you, Tanis. Thank you, Tanis.
I had to fill in for Earth.
Yeah,
okay.
I guess. All right. So as an example here, and going back to the wiki page on this, the Crystal Pickaxe has a penetration level of 140, whereas the Elder Rune plus 5 or the Earth and Song Pickaxe has 235. So keep that number 140 in your mind right now, all right? So if we go to the ore spreadsheet here and you look at the ore, concentrated coal, Necrotite and Phasmatite have a hardness of 140. So that's at level 70, so you'll be able to mine those without difficulty. But if you try and mine Saren Stones or Light Animica or Dark Animica, which have a hardness value of 185 and 235 respectively, you'll have a much harder time using your crystal pickaxe. So that's the hardness and penetration mechanics playing off each other there. So,
but and then that will change either with the what the Elder Rune pickaxe like +5 is the same as the Earth and Song.
Yeah, Elder Rune pickaxe +5, and actually all the Elder Rune pickaxes have the same penetration value. They just do more damage to the rock as you move up.
Okay.
To the level. So you couldn't, I just made a basic Elder Rune pickaxe in the beta because, hey, that's a tier 90 pickaxe, whereas you couldn't have that in game before. So that's definitely something right there to be excited about.
Yeah, I'm hoping they don't end up nerfing the Elder Rune pickaxes just because I don't see a reason to really go for the Incanda or the Earthen Song because, I mean, it's almost the same, and you don't have to do nearly the work. Is there? Because, I mean, I don't want to go.
The Song is augmentable. The Elder Rune is.
Oh, that's right. But at best, that's like what? I mean, I guess it would be 8% XP.
Plus perks as well.
Well, I mean, that's what the perks like a good setup. I don't know, though. See, I was worried about that, though, because those lava mines, I've never seen one of those spirit sort of nymphs or whatever you call them.
It's
ever.
Hard to get the Imkando pickaxe together. Dave, you probably did that, right?
No. Oh, that was okay. For me. I was living Rock Caverns, so that was before the lava flow mines even came out. Yeah.
All right.
It's the only place in the whole game that has worse language than portables. Which I find funny.
That's impressive, but, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So at level 15 mining and up, there's also something called the stamina mechanic. And every time you swing, you lose 10 stamina. And whenever the rock is clicked, it basically reduces the amount of progress that you make on the rock. So if you want to get and mine as fast as you can, you will click that rock every 4 ticks.
Okay.
So you can 4 tick mining in this way. And there's actually a really neat mechanic about this, or a really neat effect that goes with the stamina mechanic on here. So, you know, it obviously full stamina increases damage per swing and below, between 1 to 99 stamina, so it's going to go 90, 80, 70, and so on, you're going to have less damage per swing. And then if you go to empty stamina, you're just going to completely AFK mine, and you'll be really slow. But there's a really neat mechanic with this. And what happens when you're mining is that you click on the rock, there'll be a spark that'll come out of it. And if you click on that rock and you get a green spark, that means you're mining at 100% stamina. But then subsequent swings on that rock will go down to a white spark. So what you can do with this is you can look at the rock and you can see how you're mining, what level of stamina you're mining with. And the sound even changes too, subtly.
See, that's the cool part. That's the real cool part.
That blew me away.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's a secret undercover accessibility feature there. I like it.
Yeah. And, you know, I told this to Earth Reed, and I said, you know, this feels so polished, and it's just a beta. And, you know, some people say this, it's like Jagex didn't even make this update.
Huh?
Because you get these
Because it's not polished?
Because you get little things like this, the sparks, that you might not notice. But
you know,
major usability enhancement.
You know, that's true. But then, have you seen the Rockatunities?
Yes, what about them?
Really, really faint. I found them incredibly hard to see.
And
on
see
the bigger rocks that you almost can't see them. So
yeah, so like they take at the same time.
All right.
But yeah, no, the stamina with the sound cue, wonderful. And I'm hoping that they'll like do something with the sound cue on their opportunities as well.
Yeah.
Because it's like faint.
And the more efficient you are at mining, the higher chance you'll get critical swings, which give you more progress. Then you have this little bar above your head that fills up. And when the bar above your head fills up, that's when you get the ore out of the rock. And the rock opportunities, now that you mention them, they just give a random number of increased progress. Like one I clicked on gave x7 progress, and that just fills your bar up quicker. So it rewards active and dynamic gameplay by focusing on the rock opportunities. So we heard about this, and we really didn't see much of these in the February beta, but they're here now. So
it's like combat for skillers.
Yeah.
Love it.
I don't think there's much else to say about mining on this. I mean, it's you're hitting rocks, you're getting ore out of them. There's no competition. You get XP for each swing. You get more XP when you get the ore. So, and if you want to, you know, if you want to see where you can find the ore locations, I would say go to the world map, because it's interactive and you get little tool tips that'll pop up and you'll see specifically where they are, and it'll show you everything that's on there. Like, for example, at the Heroes Guild, you can see that that's where you mine Dracolith, the tier 60 dragon replacement. So, mining feels really good in this update. I do have to say that. You guys have any complaints or notice any issues with mining, the mining side of it?
No, I mean, I felt that the mining side, just like back in February, was definitely the stronger of the two. It's really well done. I don't have any complaints other than it'd be great if the rock opportunities themselves could be a little bit more noticeable. But that's really it. The mining is solid.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I have overall, I completely agree. Like, it is extremely filled out. Like, feel like this is long overdue. It's awesome. But there's still a part of me that just feels like the upper tier ores are a little too accessible. And I don't mean that in the wrong sense of the word, but I think we can all appreciate, you know, when we first started, you know, 10 or so years ago, it's like, oh, you know, I'm finally at the level where I can mine Runite. Okay, there's 5 rocks in the game and you have to compete over them. Now, I'm not saying that's how it should be now, but it definitely sort of gave it that like end game feel. And, you know, I'm not really saying they should do anything about it, but I think that is one thing we kind of lost with this rework, I guess, is kind of the rarity. But I mean, it's not really out of place since, you know, woodcutting, we have elder trees and whatnot. So I think it'll all, you know, kind of sort itself out. But that is one thing that
And
hit me. I don't want to say in the wrong way, but just kind of brought to my attention. It's just like, wow, this is like really accessible. Is it a little too accessible for the higher end content?
And, you know, also you need to remember that any ore above rune, you're not going to be able to get from a drop.
Which is what
and practically every ore in game, you're not going to be able to get from a drop. Now that I actually think about it, the reason I said every ore above rune you won't be able to get from a drop is because people are obviously going to still have their Adian rune stocks in their bank from before the update. So
beautiful.
There's going to be, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 new ores coming out, I think. 5 that you're not going to be able to get in game. Actually, more because it's secondaries too. So
it's beautiful.
I really like that. Bringing the skills back to the skilling and taking it away. I don't want to say taking it away, but in essence, taking it away from PBM. Because, you know, why go mine coal or why go mine rune?
7
you can
ore.
Just go kill rune dragons.
7 ore.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And I understand Dave's point. I mean, I was always on the opposite end of that because it would just piss me off when I was trying to get something, I needed something, and I couldn't get it because some other dude's there in my way. But, I mean, it does, I mean, you know, of course, it's always going to pull on those nostalgia strings, you know, like, because it is a change. But overall, I think it'll probably be a good thing. You know?
Yeah. Especially that it, you have to actually mine it. You're not just going to have a bunch of bossers controlling the economy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, as you level up with mining, you're going to have critical hit bonuses for whenever you critical hit your rocks. So there's reason to mine with higher level mining as well. By default, the player has 10% chance on each swing to deal a critical strike, and that increases based on various factors, I think, including mining level too. So
you know what this is showing me, Shane?
What's that?
This is how we get a skilling boss. Like, could you imagine having to have a group together working as efficient as possible at different times, doing different things, and you would use mechanics just like this to do it?
Yeah.
Like, it actually, it's not such a pipe dream now.
Yeah, well, let's see how old school does with their skilling boss.
Oh, I forgot him. Oh, Shane. You just had to do it. You had to. Oh, it hurts.
Well, you can't have it all sunshine and rainbows. You guys were wondering about the pickaxe of Earth and Song. You combine an Elder Rune pickaxe plus 5 with a Blast Fusion Hammer, a Crystal Pickaxe, and an Imkando pickaxe. So that's lots of work to get that. And the only benefit it gives is that it is augmentable.
Yeah. I'm a little disappointed we didn't get the chick axe, but I don't know. Maybe that'll come through on Treasure Hunter.
I don't know. I mean, I think this fulfills the requirements of the update, because the requirement of the update was to make the skill more accessible. And by having something called an Elder Rune plus 5 that's smithable by everyone, and, you know, people who are going to be 90 already are going to have a Crystal Pickaxe. You might have an Imkando Pickaxe. So I don't think it's going to be that hard to get if you're already level 90, unless you haven't done the Blast Furnace thing.
Yeah, that might be. I mean, I haven't done Blast Furnace.
Yeah, neither have I. And we haven't. So that's probably why we're saying that. But in reality, I bet there are a bunch of people out there who do have Imkando pickaxes lying around.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Man, that lava flow mine, though. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, if it rejuvenates that piece of content, that's worth it. And I bet there are people out there who are going for 200 mil mining, who are going to want the extra little bit of XP that you get from augmenting. So there's the use case for it.
Yeah. Well, and they've already been to the lava mine because they needed the suit.
There you go.
I mean, you'd have to.
So I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah, you're probably right. I just don't want them to nerf the Elder Rune one to make the Earth and Song seem even better.
I'm going to go to the design document now because I want to find the map of all of the mining spots, just to kind of get a picture of how that is, because I think that's an important thing to look at this stage. You know, we're in the beta. Let's see if there's any final thoughts on any of these mining sites and the like before we start talking about smithing. So.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of overwhelming until I got onto the guide.
Yeah.
Like, I just couldn't find what I was looking for by wandering around.
All right, so it looks as though there is going to be there's light Anamica in the Kandarin by the Fishing Guild. That's a new mining site. And in the Elflands. Dark Anamica is at the dig site. Dave, where did you say in the desert that other Anamica was?
The entrance to the smoke dungeon where dust devils are. It's like the well down there by Simona.
Okay, that one is not on this map, so that's a different mining site that was added. So, there's our Anamica, and that was dark, right?
Mm-hmm. It was light down in the
dark. Okay, so that's two light Anamica sites. I wonder where this other dark Anamica site is, because if there's one of those, there should be a second one, I believe.
I only found one, but
okay.
I
Wouldn't it? It might stand the reason it would be over by. Would it be where Bandos died? That would make sense lore wise.
I think it needs to be a more powerful god. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It's hard to say. Now, you know, there's. You guys think there's going to be any issue with concentrated coal and concentrated gold and the like? Because
I mean, it's a change. It's going to not be worth very much.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it's not those because those used to be two mining sites that everyone used to go there.
I mean, other than needing to, I think they'll need to change something up in
they're
Lithuania.
Gonna have, like the concentrated gold is going to have the same XP as a tier 80 general rock does. So,
yeah.
So that's decent. Let's see. Hopefully we don't destroy anything by doing this. Okay. I'm going to actually just open up the game client right now and have a look at the world map and see if we can find that extra mining site on this, because I think that's something that would benefit discussion at this point in that regard. So, all right. Now, you guys think that what about Trehernauer? I was going to actually bring that up too, Trehernauer. I was never really a fan of that. I don't know what they did with it. Tannis, I don't know if you ever followed along with that or anything.
I did, and now I don't remember.
Okay, fair enough.
I know it was snafu, like especially after the first beta came out, because everybody, like, I guess I didn't realize there was that big of a quote-unquote community around it.
Oh, yeah. But, oh, yeah.
You know, they were, like, raising eight kinds of hell about it, so, yeah, I'd be interested to see how they handled that as well.
Well, I mean, it was 2 or 3 mil a day, you know, if you caught 2 Trehernauers. So that's why. And it's one of the very few things that, you know, I skilling community like made regular money from. It's like solid, you know.
Yeah,
it's not a big deal to me, but I I'm not sure. I know there's a lot of. I mean, there's a lot of ore throughout Prif in there with the.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought,
and that's why I brought that up. Hey, the wilderness mining spot at level 47, where Rune used to be, was changed to a phasmatite rock.
Seems like a bad choice.
Bainite. I'm just looking at the map here, going through this. Keldegrim, iron. Coal at the coal tracks. Rune at the Grand Tree. Mithril at that dungeon. Iron ore at Piscatoris. Yeah, I can't find the second Dark Animica spot. I don't know where that would be. Maybe we can search. Yeah, you can't search for Animica on there. So, that's a little bit odd. You know, you'd think that you would be able to know offhand where that extra Animica spot would be. Give me ideas. Where should I look?
I wonder if it would be like in a dungeon, like not on the surface world.
Yeah, I can see all the dungeons on here, and I haven't found them yet.
I'm trying to think of where bad shit happened. Maybe up where the ritual was?
Nope, not up there.
Oh, okay. Well, man, I'm not sure.
I found Dave's light Animica near Tupmikin. So that one makes sense.
Where'd Sliskate? Where was that at? Where'd he kick the bucket at?
That was in an instanced area. I don't know. I don't know where that would be. Okay.
Oh, wait, Tuska. What about,
nothing
didn't they remove
Tuska.
It?
Nothing on Tuska.
Oh, man. All right. I wonder if it'd be where Zamorak went down and around Lumbridge.
No, Lumbridge Swamp just has basic stuff like clay and coal.
How if I know then?
Is Phasmatite? Yeah, it looks like we only got one spot for Dark Animica on here.
And it's not in the wilderness?
No. Not in the wilderness.
Okay.
In the wilderness we got Dracolith, Rune, Orichalcite, Phasmatite, Necrite, and then up at the top, Bainite. So I have no idea. It looks like we only got that one spot for Dark Animica at the dig site.
Well, good thing you don't have to compete with people.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because that would suck.
Oh, I think I get it. The light Animica spot is the Tupmikan spot in the desert. Everyone can go there. But of course you need to do underground pass to get to Isifdar and the Elven Lands to access that other light Animica spot. So that other light Animica spot is a bonus.
Okay.
Though it's still different that there's extra light than dark. But anyways, but, you know, for those of you guys watching the video version, you'll see that I've just been moving the world map around, clicking over all these mining icons, and you can see where all the different ore spots are. So that's actually a really good tool in itself as well. But, okay, anything else on mining, or should we move on to smithing?
I think that really covers mining.
Okay. So smithing itself is perhaps the biggest change as part of this update, so much so that what we ended up seeing with smithing, I think, is enough to call it a complete new relaunch of the skill for it.
Yeah.
So would you guys agree with that?
Yeah,
sure. It's nothing like, I mean, it's completely different. Completely.
Okay. So
almost like a new skill.
Exactly.
Because it's, you know,
so the hub for this skill is going to be the Artisan's Workshop, and they've effectively made this into a smithing and mining guild, which I think is good. It gives everyone a place to, you know, gather. There's anvils and furnaces and whatnot all around, and you have access to the new ore and bar hopper. So basically what you can do with this is you can take all of the ore and bars that you've had sitting in your bank and just dump them into this hopper, and there you go. If you had a huge mining and smithing tab in your bank, you're going to be saving all these bank spots. And everyone knows how they like to save bank spaces this week, right? Or this month, this year, whenever. Everyone's always up for bank space saving.
Sounds like a rework to me.
Yeah, that's right. So basically what happens is that let's say you want to make some Elder Rune bars. What you end up doing is you just go to the furnace as you always did, and then you just click on the bar, and you'll make the bars as you have expected that they would come out. And, you know, based on your level, you'll have extra bars be made randomly, and those will get immediately sent to your ore bank. And then following that, you head on over to the forge. And this is, you know, the classic way of getting going with this rework. You have your core metals and whatnot. And then what you can do is you just choose the various tier that you're going after. So let's just say you want to make Elder Rune. All the Elder Rune items will appear in the central pane of the page. And with that, you're able to make everything. You can start off by making the Elder Rune pickaxe. For example, it'll tell you how many Elder Rune bars that you need to make. Then, after that, you'll be given a in-progress smithing object, which looks like a blob of hot metal, which I think is a good way of looking at it. Then from there, it's just a simple matter of clicking on the anvil, and your character chugs away making the item in question, and it tells you what the item is, what your current heat value is, your current progress of it being made, and how much XP is left that you can earn from the item. Now, recall we also talked about the heat mechanic, and this is the orange bar that appears above your head. And, you know, when you do that, you just pop it in the furnace, your heat will reestablish, and every third progress that you go down, so at 67 and 33%, you'll get a message that the item has cooled down, and then that's when you can dump it in the furnace to get to have the optimal progress being made on it for each swing that you hit it with. So the hotter your item is, the easier it's going to be to work, and there's three different stages to it. So if you paying full attention, you're going to want to try and keep your heat in that top third all the time. And this is what we were talking about with cues. Mm-hmm. You start paying attention to this, and there's a different sound when you go down to that other level, which is absolutely amazing when you think about it, that there's an audio cue for when it's time to change your heat.
It's great. And this is something that has always, when you think about things that distinguish RuneScape from other games, all right, one thing that's always been different in this game is the richness of the skills that we have. Then when you put in something, the mechanics that they put into this skill, like I said, it almost feels like combat for skillers, like with the amount of attention you need to pay.
And the sparks like change that. Color too, that you see on the anvil.
Right. And to be able to have the option to either be that interactive or still AFK gives you the best of both worlds. And I think that's what really distinguishes RuneScape from every other game. You know, everything has combat. Not everything is going to have skilling mechanics like this. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, really is. And you look at what's happening here. And in the process of minutes, providing I have the levels and I have, you know, level 70 pickaxe, which is the crystal pickaxe, or even if you had the dragon pickaxe, you could still, over the span of about an hour or so, probably, maybe less, providing you had the levels, get a top-tier pickaxe to use for this skill. You can't do that right now in-game. And this is the mining and smithing rework. As Jagex says, and I'm going to say this, and this is actually in-game, so I can say this. This is Jagex making mining and smithing great again. It's in-game.
Very true.
For anyone who is a Premier Club member, you go to the Premier Club vault this month, open the third chest, you'll get a voucher, a flyer that you'll open up when the mining and smithing beta rework drops in January. And if you examine it, it says that, let me pull the exact quote up here, but the words making mining and smithing great again is actually in the examine info of this piece of paper.
At least they still have their cheeky humor.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, that's typical Jagex, right? So, I think based on what I just described here, smithing is a hit. Now, what do you guys – anything about smithing that's jumping out at you guys that we should bring up?
I think there is one thing that is going to be – it's going to rattle people at first, and I hope everyone gives it a chance before they just crap all over it. But since you make one thing at a time – I hope people are going to accept that. I think it's better. I think it's the right choice.
It's very clear. It's very Apple-like. Steve Jobs Apple-like.
Well, and it's we mentioned this back in February, but it's closer to what the real skill. You know, it's a closer representation of what the skill would be like, right? But people are reluctant to change, and so that does I worry about that a little bit, especially when you combine some of the things that Dave has seen just throughout the beta. With, you know, we do our best to get people to, you know what to do and know what to expect, and sometimes it's still a challenge. So I do worry about that, just because that is such a drastic change, even though I think it's the right change.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. The exact wording on the flyer was that we're remodeling the Artisan's Workshop and making mining and smithing great again. Join us at the start of next year for big changes. Bring this flyer with you for an exclusive pack of sample items. And that's what the 2018 Premier Club members get for this.
Huh.
Yep.
Aren't you glad you got Premier?
Yeah, this year. We'll talk more about that in a bit. But Coal Bag is no more. That has been replaced with the Auto Heater. Everyone who had a Coal Bag will find that they've been refunded 4,000 Dungeoneering tokens. And if you want the Auto Heater, you'll be able to pick it up at the Damonheim Reward Shop for the same price. And the idea behind this is that if you have coal in your metal bank or your inventory or your ore box, every time your heat disappears, it'll refill it up to 1/3 of your maximum heat, allow you to continue AFK smithing.
Okay.
So this nice. Was the compromise on this, and I think this is the better design to go for. And I mean, people love their AFK scape, right? So this is gonna keep that coal in business.
I mean, I don't know if it's really enough to keep that going, but, you know, it's good.
The efficiency scape, people aren't going to use it, but anyone who wants to AFK will.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's actually good that it's going to be cheap to use because you'd use it for AFK. So,
yeah.
You don't want to pay a lot for that, you know?
Yeah. Also, remember that your maximum heat is also determined by your fire-making level.
Oh, I forgot that they made that change.
Maximum heat is 300 times your smithing level plus 3 times your fire-making level.
So you have a reason to get your fire-making up, finally.
A passive reason, nonetheless, but a reason.
It's something. Yeah. Don't take this away from me, Shane.
Yeah, you and Sirion. You and Sirion. you know, I don't know much what else there is to say on smithing, upgrading items and upgrading equipment to plus 5. That's there. The tier 90 and tier 92 armor, as was expected, is in game right now too. So that's good. That's good. Nice to see that made its way through. And I remember talking to Jack at RuneFest about that, and he was very, very pleased that was able to get through the Combat Council. So, that was good. Masterwork armor, let's just go through a recap of those. 99 smithing and access to the Dragon Forge. Intentionally complicated to make. So to make Masterwork armor, you're going to need plus 5. You're going to need Elder Rune Helmet plus 5, Elder Rune Plate Body plus 5, Elder Rune Plate Legs plus 5, Elder Rune Gauntlets plus 5, and Elder Rune Boots plus 5 for a grand total of 384 bars you're going to need. So to make this Masterwork armor, just as a recap once again, you're going to need all the way down the list here, all the way down to Glorious Bars. And, you know, it's going to take a long time to make, because what you're going to need is to make one concentrated alloy bar. You need one of each bar in game. You're also going to need enriched alloy bars, which are 10 concentrated alloy bars, then immaculate alloy bars, which are 10 enriched alloy bars. Then, following that, you need to basically combine all those together and keep combining them until you get glorious bars, which are immaculate allied bars, which have been folded 1,001 times to make them glorious. So it's going to be expensive to make this armor. It really is. But I think it's going to be worth it at the end of the day for people who want to just rely on skilling and have this as a fun little reward at the end of the mining and smithing skill. So
I love it. I wish it was tank armor, but I love it.
Yeah. And, you know, I can see why it's not tank armor, because tank armor tier 90s would be pretty powerful. And,
well, it comes from raids, so they don't want to devalue raids.
But you got to look at the use case for this. People who are using this are likely going to use it for Slayer, and most Slayer tasks where you're using melee out there, you know, it's not like you need the tank armor to soak up the damage from the Slayer creatures.
True.
The power armor can help get your Slayer task done quicker.
Yeah, those are good points.
So, I think that's fine. Now, in regards to the tier 92 power armor, the trimmed Masterwork armor, that's going to require parts of the tier 90 malevolent armor that's already in game as well. So,
wow.
I don't know who's going to use this. Because for the extra 2% of damage you're going to be pulling off of this, and the fact it comes off an armor set, it's just not worth it for someone who's doing basic combat. And as we all know, the high-end PVM scene is heavily dependent on magic, so they're not going to use this either.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, it's nice to have tier 92 melee power armor coming from the game, but...
Yeah, the concept is there, but I think the follow-through is still subject to a little polishing or rethinking. But
yeah, and I think that's a combat issue in general. I mean, they need to release a good boss that requires you to use melee at the high end. Which would certainly be something getting everyone off their magic kick.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, it's not so much that there's something wrong with the way they planned out the mining aspect of it as much as it's just other issues, you know, other combat issues that can't address in a mining rework.
Yeah.
Smithing rework.
Yeah. And just to recap, you're going to need 1,200 of each bar in-game to make 1,200 concentrated alloy bars. Then you're going to bring those down to 120 enriched alloy bars. Then finally bring those down to 12 immaculate alloy bars. Then you're going to fold those immaculate alloy bars 1,001 times to get glorious bars.
Yeah, that's going to be a process.
8 hours of gameplay, if you're completely efficient.
Oh, that's it.
Well, I mean, 8 hours of actually using the forge and smithing this, or sorry, smelting this.
It's not too terribly bad.
No, I'd say on an average player, maybe 2 hours a night. I mean, that's a week. I mean, I feel like that's somewhat reasonable, but that doesn't account, or does it account for if you're just mining everything yourself and doing...
That does not account for if you're mining everything yourself. So that's going to be way longer, because you got to mine 1,200 of each ore effectively in-game. Double it in some cases for the ones that require. Like, to make those 1,200 Elder Runes, you're going to need 1,200 Light Animica, 1,200 Dark Animica.
Right, right.
So
I don't think it's too bad.
It's a long process, and I think when this beta – or when the beta drops, when the actual update drops, this will be one of the first things I get started on, because for Slayer and whatnot, I'm still using Tier 85 ports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I use that. Sometimes I use the Siliske set from God Wars 2.
Yeah, there you go.
Because I'm lazy.
Yep. And then we've already talked a lot about masterwork at length. Anything else in the smithing side of it that we should look at here? I mean,
I just want people to be prepared that it's going, and it's not fair for me to really say for sure, cause I haven't ran numbers with this, but I can say it feels slower. I think that's okay.
Yeah. I think that's okay too.
But it does feel, you know, that's what it feels like. So, just, you know, chill out, breathe. It'll be fine. And I think it's the right call.
Yeah, I concur with that. And for anyone wondering what the smithable armors and weapons are going to look like, Elder Rune will be level 90 to wear, but we'll have tier 80 stats, but when upgraded, we'll be tier 85. So same as ports.
Mm-hmm.
Now you could make can we make halberds? Can we smith halberds yet? Or is that a no?
You know, Shane, that's a good question. I am not sure.
Well, back to the beta we go. let's have a look at that right now. Because I actually have an idea on this. Because, you know, everyone loves their Nox Scythe and whatnot, right?
Right.
That's two-handed weapon. Halberd length. What if you could make a tier 80 Elder Rune plus 5 halberd?
That would be fantastic, honestly.
Obviously, yeah. You won't be able to augment it, but... Or will you be able to?
That'd be cool, though.
Let's see. Can you augment this? Someone find that out for me. If we can augment Elder Rune. Because that's something I would like to know. Because that would be Very, very interesting. The following items can be augmented. All other items cannot be augmented. Masterwork, trimmed. Okay, so you can't augment it. But still, I mean, good cheap option for people who want something like a scythe, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just so that sort of mass slayer, power
slaying. For the mass slayer, deal. Power slaying. Yeah.
I wonder if will that then replace the lance?
No, you cannot make a you cannot make halberds. You can only make a long sword or a two-hand sword.
Okay. Okay.
So, unfortunately not.
All right.
Well, it was a nice idea while it lasted.
Yeah. It was an idea.
Yeah. So, too bad. But I mean, still, a tier 85 two-handed weapon, you're not going to have the range of a halberd or a scythe, but you're still going to be able to get tier 85 plus stats doing this. And for anyone who just wants to do Slayer, that's still going to be a pretty good weapon because you still need to buy it from PVM. So, huge benefit there for that side of the Slayer equation. So, I'm very pleased with that. All right. I don't really have much else to say on smithing. You guys good?
Yep, I'm good there.
What was that, Dave?
I think that covers it.
Okay. I did test the drops of the Abyssal Demons. I will say that. We're going to do some work on PVM and have a look at Telos and whatnot as well. David's going to do that for us, see if there's anything from Telos that needs to be written home about. But I can say that Abyssal Demons are pretty much the same value as they were before because you get chunks of salvage and whatnot that you can either disassemble or high elk for the same price that you were able to before. And instead of getting rune and addy ore drop from them, you get the stone spirits, which give you an extra ore when you're mining. So I think that's a good compromise for that.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's going to take time for people to be trying everything out. But I'm sure they will.
Yeah. My question is, where do you get, like, Dark Animica Stone Spirits, for example? That'd be interesting to know what drops
maybe
those.
Probably maybe the higher-end bosses. Maybe not so much Slayer monsters unless they're the really high-up ones in the new 120 dungeon.
Right. Okay, maybe Rune Dragons, for example, because they make Elder Rune. Yeah. That might be a good idea. So... All right, well, that's something else to look into as we move forward with that. I did find a bug when I was in the beta, believe it or not.
Oh, there you go, breaking stuff, Shane.
Yeah, I made armor spikes for my Abyssal Demon task, and you burn through those really quickly. And around, you know, I forgot to bring them for the first part of the task, but for the very tail end, I made 1,000 of them, and I used 700 or so. In about 70 Abyssal Demons.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
They might need to slow that down.
Yeah, so you burn through them because every time they hit you, the armor spikes have a chance to hit for, I believe it's 90 to 99 damage, and it's based on your strength level or your smithing level or something. I don't know what it's based on. But the bug I found was that in Curadel's dungeon, you can continue to damage Abyssal Demons after you've completed the task.
Really?
With the spikes, which you shouldn't be able to do because you're not supposed to kill those when you're not on a task. So I put that in the forum thread as a bug, and hopefully that'll be brought forward because I think that is the intended side effect, is that they'll be able to be used like a ring of recoil kind of thing. But I don't think you want to be able to kill stuff in Curadel's dungeon unless you absolutely have to. Because just running through there, I was attacked by hellhounds, and I was hurt by the hellhounds too. So,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's something to make note of as a bug. Yeah, yeah. And I specifically waited until the task was done to test that. So,
very cool, very thorough, Shane.
Yeah. All right. So we've pretty much gone through mining, smithing. The way the mechanics work. Remember, there's also going to be the armor that you can sell on the exchange, so people can just finish it for mass amounts of XP. I don't remember the exact name of it, but you're able to do that in the beta as well. So that might be something worth testing out as well.
Is that the ceremonial stuff? Or?
Oh, the burial armor. That must be it. The
burial armor. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, let's see. Burial equipment. Let's see. Elder Rune works like upgrading equipment, but requires no additional bars, and once complete, destroys the item. Uses the standard smithing mechanic. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. And that's basically what you want to do for large amounts of XP that you can smith and just get XP from, and you can sell them. So there's that as an option too. So as you can see here, and as we talked about in the notes, when this thing was being developed, pretty much every case has been accounted for in this regard. Is there anything else in regards to the mining and smithing beta that you guys want to just talk about or bring up in general that is worth mentioning?
No, I think they've done a really good job. I mean,
it covers most of the at least main points. I mean, again, like especially with the smithing, it kind of blurs the lines with combat. And again, that could be a whole nother discussion with just how gear and whatnot works. But I think in terms of the actual skill itself, I think that's pretty much most of what they intended.
Yeah. All right. Anything else regarding the beta?
No, I just I hope everything comes to a game, you know, pretty much the way it is. Because
the track that they're on right now.
Yeah.
As far, at least from a progress standpoint from February, like we said before, extremely polished. So I think and I hope we can only go up from here.
Yeah, it seems very well done. And, you know, I looked at some of the feedback that was out there, and I didn't see any of the inflammatory feedback that we saw with EOC, so that's good. And, you know, I think one thing we should also do is say that if you are at all interested in these two skills, you should, if you have the computer capability to do so, to download the cache, you have the hard drive space, you have the bandwidth, you just log into the beta, give it a try, see what you think, because, you know, there are many changes that have happened. Like, I got a huge stack of steel item tokens in my bank because I had steel plate bodies left over that were going to be used for summoning. So make sure that everything in your bank is as it should be, because they removed, you know, all these kinds of armor and whatnot, because you can either use the steel plate body for summoning, or you can get a piece of steel salvage and use that for alking or disassembling. So make sure everything is as it should be in your bank. And in general, I think just make sure nothing was deleted that shouldn't be there. Make sure everything looks the way it should in your bank. Make sure everything looks the way it should with your mining and smithing processes and whatnot. Give it a whirl and see how it goes. But more importantly, I think everyone owes it to Jagex and their fellow community members to just have a look at this beta and see that, you know, is there any major feedback that I have to offer? Is there anything that the community hasn't mentioned? Is there anything I can add to this? And if there is, share it on the feedback thread that is posted at the bottom of the Mining and Smithing Beta news post. And if you have criticisms, and I always say this when it comes to betas, you know, be civil, be constructive, and don't be a raging lunatic when it comes to posting these things, because quite honestly, that does no one any good, and that's how you end up with a bad product at the end of the day. But in general, I think we're heading off on a good path here for this, and lots of great little tools and mechanics thrown in that really do modernize the skill. So I think I can leave it at that, unless you guys have anything else you specifically want to mention.
Nope, couldn't agree more.
That'll work.
All right. And, you know, as we did mention, we'll be doing a bit of a beta live stream next week with Sirion. He's doing his Informer article on this subject. So do, of course, watch the Weekly Byte and Twitter for all the information on that at RSBNB. So You guys ready to talk about Premier Club?
Sure. It's so exciting.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. We got the Premier Club details today, Thursday. And this year, everyone gets, of course, the daily keys, the reward tokens to get previous rewards and current rewards, the vault, the VIP world, the VIP token, the VIP forum. You also this year will get what they're calling the Premier Club artifact, which is a 10% increased XP for all from all normal sources, can be used daily and lasts 1 hour. One free aura reset that will stack with the Hellion aura reset. 50% chance for it to act like the sign of the porter. This can be used daily and lasts for 1 hour. Now, in regards to Slayer, you'll get a 20% increased hit chance on enemies below 15% HP and 10% chance to drop your Slayer counter from decreasing when killing. And for anyone who picks up the Premier Club starting that for 2 weeks from Monday, November 19th, they'll be giving double keys to all members.
Nice.
That's what's in this year's Premier Club.
Yeah. Forgive me if I don't run out and get one.
Yeah.
Seems pretty, like, you know, kind of the normal, what to expect.
Yeah, it's normal, but there's nothing outright that says that you should pick this up unless, you know, you're on one of their more expensive membership packages, because this is $89.99, and that brings it down to $7.49. Per month membership. So if you're at anything under $7.50 a month for membership, this Premier Club is probably not a good deal for you. But if you're at anything more than that, then it is a good deal for you. And, you know, I think we're at the point with Premier Club where you buy it if you're on a more expensive membership. Whereas, like me, there's nothing in this Premier Club package this year that I feel
you're going to want to pay more for.
That I feel is worthwhile for the extra fee. Because when my Premier Club runs out, I go back to a grandfathered in $5 a month subscription fee.
Yeah, same with me. So literally none of this stuff has really, you know, piqued my interest enough to want to pay more, you know.
Yeah. And for us in Canada, it's $96, which is $8 a month, which is $3 more than mine. So still no full rune metrics. You're going to get a bunch of loyalty points, but you get those anyways. Rune metrics 50% off. So,
I mean, that's okay, but I don't know. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, Shane. I don't know if they did this in Canada, but when I was a kid, you used to get like free weekends of like the pay channels, you know, sometimes. Yep. Like you get a free weekend HBO or something. I'm like, what if they gave like on Double XP, what if they give everyone a free weekend of Rune Metric Pro? Because, you know, like, before you get it, you think, eh, I don't really need that. But then once you get it, you're like, oh, I really want that all the time now. Like, that needs to be in my game.
Yeah.
Like, if they just did a weekend of it.
You know,
yeah?
I'm actually going to pick up a month of it this weekend for a Double XP weekend and for testing in the mining and smithing beta, believe it or not.
Yeah, no, I believe it. Or they could give it to you for free in the beta. You know, that would really be nice.
Yeah. Because, you know, while we went over the top-down view of the mining and smithing beta, we didn't go through the XP rates for these. I don't know what the XP rates are for Seren Stone, say.
You know, that's going to take time. It's only been here for a week, and, I mean, we're really just kind of figuring out the mechanics and making sure nothing major is broken. You know, maybe next week we'll be able to go into a little bit more of rates and stuff like that. But, I mean, that takes time, you know, to figure out the most efficient or best, you know, XP per hour rates. Plus, now we have a whole new, like, balance of, you know, resources versus XP, you know what I mean? Like, AFK versus active. So there's going to be a lot to really go through over the coming, you know, week, and then
yeah.
The coming months.
And, you know, we have just scratched the surface in terms of everything that has been done with this, and, you know, that's why we're doing the live stream. That's why we're doing the Informer article. I think he's approaching it from a game design point of view, so that should be really interesting too. So, and, you know, I think I think you're entirely right that they should give that away for, at least for double, at least for the beta, you know?
Yeah. It just seems like it'd be a no-brainer, you know, because you might even draw someone that wasn't going to mess with the beta, but they might come over because they're like, oh, I want to see what kind of raid I can get on whatever. Maybe they're going to go kill something. Well, now you have someone killing that, so you know what that rate's going to be. You know what I mean? Like, now you have someone that tested something that they probably wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we're also forgetting the class of people here who are going to purchase this. You can purchase the gold package 1 year membership for 20 bonds.
Mm-hmm.
And as we all know, with the old school slash RS3 wealth transfers, that's not too hard to get if you're doing that.
No, not too much.
So, but yeah, I'll be taking a pass on the Premier Club this year. You guys?
No, I'm going to pass.
Yep.
And, you know, to be fair, that's just because we're veterans. But, I mean, if you are paying more than $750 per month US, then it's worth it, I would say. I would say hands down, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, anything that's going to bring that down is great. Especially if, what is it now, like 9-something? That
right? $10.99.
Oh, yeah. So if
$10.99.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Definitely worth it if you're a newer player.
Went up from $9.99 to $10.99 this year.
Okay.
So, I mean, when you put it that way, right?
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Worth it. Totally worth it.
Yeah, I know. Here we are. We're like, oh, dude, that sounds like great of a deal. But when it's like $4, man. Like, jeez.
I just have to go back to the fact that you got three people on this podcast who are paying half the membership fee of what one month of membership costs right now.
Right. Yeah.
Oh boy, that is paying dividends when you look at that. You know, you're saving $60 a year if you're us on this, just on base membership. More than that, whew. $66 a year you're saving.
Hey, Jagex rewards loyalty, right?
That's the best loyalty point reward.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't feel so bad now for not having much use for loyalty points.
Yeah, I don't either.
Oh, amazing what numbers can say. All right. So that's the Premier Club. It's out. Buy it if you're paying more than $7.50 per month in terms of subscription fee. All right. We're going to move on to the patch notes right now. There's really not too many this week. Starting off, they added tooltips for potions in-game. So you'll have all your potions, and you just mouse over them, and it'll say what they do. This is a good feature, and all the other big MMOs have this for potions and food and whatnot. So it's about time that we had this in RS. So I'm very happy with that. And I actually learned this week, and I didn't know this was what they did, but Juju farming potions give you a 33% chance of receiving a double harvest every time you pick a herb patch.
Oh, really?
So. Based on that, I can run some calculations and determine how likely it is that I'll get a certain number of herb patches or a certain number of herbs from a specific herb patch, now knowing that it's 33% each time I pick a herb. So, yeah.
I wonder if you'll be able to break the record.
I broke another record this week.
Oh, you did?
My previous record from a few days back was 125.
Yeah.
My new record is 128.
Wow. Look at you go.
And that is the magic secateurs from the last fairy quest, the full master farmer outfit, the juju, the and the aura. And I might be missing something, but it's all there. But it's basically everything. Oh, and ultra compost. That's the final piece of the puzzle.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yep. They also added a button inside the settings, general game interaction options, where you can show extra potion information on the tooltip, so you can turn that off if you don't want that for some reason. So it's just in the maze that is known as Togglescape, though it has been reworked since mobile hit. So there's that. Oh, and that's something else. I don't know if the beta works on mobile, and that'd be something that anyone who has mobile access should check out.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Wait, don't you have mobile access?
No, no, it's it's Android only.
Oh, that's right. Oh, dirt. Yeah, okay. I forgot. Yeah,
Android only. All right. Now some just general changes from the Achievement Bonanza. In particular, the Dragonstone achievement can now be unlocked when using bolts inside of a quiver. That's good. Previously, you would have to have had the bolts. And I think everyone at this point probably has the Tyrannan Quiver, even though I don't. The Panic at the Disco achievement now correctly is marked as members only because, of course, it involves Divination Disco, I believe. I think that's what it is. Players with the player-owned ports armor that is either broken or stored in a player-owned house will now be able to unlock the relevant achievements in the ports. And this was fixed. This was supposed to be fixed. Except it wasn't fixed on Monday. So there might be still some people out there who haven't unlocked this achievement. I think I saw a tweet from Monshani that said that they're going to have it fixed for next week. So if this is you, there's a chance that this will be fixed for next week. So keep that in mind. Similarly, with the heist minigame, players with all the heist perks unlocked will now receive the Cops and Robbers achievement as expected. That one wasn't working as well, so keep that in mind. If you aren't getting this achievement and you're supposed to, you will get it at some point. It's just a matter of chasing that issue down. Players that have fully upgraded the Wicked Hood should now also receive the All Good achievement as expected. And players who have completed the Year It achievement will no longer be able to complete it again. And Year It is the achievement for the Brimhaven agility course, which everyone must love. So,
dead content.
Yep.
What? Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Panic at the Disco is Clan Citadel. Everyone needs to dance. Okay.
Everyone? Who's everyone? Everyone in the clan? How's that going to happen?
Let's see. Oh, no. Everyone just needs... Or you just need to use the panic emote in the party room at a clan citadel.
Oh.
It can be any clan citadel, too.
Oh.
So even if you don't have one, you just need to be invited to one. They also added a tooltip to the regular gem bag, and the upgraded one already had the tooltip on it. So... That's the patch notes this week. Relatively quiet, but of course we got the mining and smithing beta. So
that's the meat on the bones.
That's the meat of the week. So before we move on to our question, I'll just take a moment to remind everybody about our Patreon page, which you can find at patreon.com/rsbnb. We're currently working towards the inside RSBNB update tier, which is where you gain an inside look at RSBNB update, including interviews with our hosts, production team, and learning how the podcast comes together. So we're working towards that, but later on there's the RSBNB Update Roundtable, which will happen every month. The first Saturday of every month we'll have a specific roundtable hosted where we discuss anything and everything RuneScape-related. It'll be hosted in Discord, live-streamed, and then later published. Patreon supporters are encouraged to join in at the roundtable. And we have the added benefit at this tier that means that all of our server rental and yearly web address fees will also be covered. Then, should we ever reach the mythical $99 a month tier, it'll be movie night with Shane and Tanis. Join us for a monthly movie night in Discord as we run through some of our favorite movies, and there's a fairly good chance that there'll be Star Trek movies included in all that. So you can find out more about that at patreon.com/rsbnb. We have three tiers of support. For $1 a month, you get a mention in our show notes and early access to the show notes. For $3 a month, you receive a special rank on Discord, special mention on the podcast at the start of the month, and access to high-quality stereo AAC versions of the show, so you can hear Dave's wonderful music and any other RuneScape music that we showcase throughout the podcast. And for $5 a month, you receive a shout out every week on the podcast and exclusive access to the clips that we use to produce the end of year clip show. So all that and more can be found out about at patreon.com/rsbnb. And we also have three patrons to thank this week: Cody T, Kyle, and Brock H. Thank you guys for your wonderful support of RSBNB Update. Wouldn't be the same without you.
Yes, thank you very much. And could you imagine, Shane, if we actually ever did get to the 99 tier? You think you could make a Star Trek fan out of me, or could I pull you to the dark side?
No.
You sure?
Very sure on that one.
The lines have been drawn.
No, I don't think so. I saw one of the Star Wars movies in the movie theater, and I almost fell asleep during it.
Well, you must have went to the wrong one.
It was the first reboot one, and then the subsequent one, I think.
All right. Well, those are the okay. Understood.
I'll just leave. I'll just say that I'm glad that J.J. Abrams has moved on to Star Wars, and Disney is in charge of Star Wars now, and we'll keep Star Trek with CBS and Paramount.
Hey, are you talking shit about the mouse?
I have no problem with Mickey Mouse. I just find it funny that Mickey Mouse and Goofy and Donald Duck are all tied together to the same company that does Star Wars now.
Disney does everything. They own everything.
Yeah, you're right. I think they even own some TV stations.
Yeah.
So
it's Disney, dude.
Yeah.
Don't mess with the mouse.
So, but yeah, those are our Patreon tiers. And we're gonna do one of those roundtables this weekend, actually, because it's double XP weekend. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna play some RuneScape for probably about an hour, maybe an hour and a half on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern, which is 2 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Mountain, and I want to say 10 p.m. UTC, but I might be wrong on that. I think that's what it is. For anyone listening, you can do the time change correction just to do it to Eastern time. 5 p.m. Eastern is the time for it. And let me just check. Let's see. What time is it in UTC right now? Someone help me.
Well, I know in Central time it is plus 6.
Okay.
My RuneScape resets at 6 p.m.
Okay.
UTC, is that the in-game clock?
Yes, that is the in-game clock.
4:41.
Okay, so 4:41. So 10 p.m. in-game time Saturday. There you go. 10 p.m. UTC. Got it right.
Right on.
And that'll be in Discord at rsbnb.com/Discord. And I think what we'll do for this one, just to give everyone a taste of how it's going to be, is we'll let everyone contribute and chat for this. We'll also live stream it and live stream some RuneScape at the same time and publish it after the fact to just give everyone a taste of what this RSBNB update roundtable is going to be like. So rsbnb.com/Discord for that on Saturday to get a taste of the RSBNB roundtable. And this is something we've wanted to do for a while, right? Basically like best to be described as a RuneScape call-in radio show where people can just join the Discord, come in and say something that's on their mind, and we can chat about it for a bit.
Yep.
Which could be very interesting given the climate and whatnot. So
yeah, it could be.
But we've been wanting to do that, so that should be good and fun. So that's this Saturday at 10 p.m. in-game time, 5 p.m. Eastern, at rsbnb.com/Discord. And I will endeavor to get this podcast out at least 24 hours in advance of that, so there are going to be some of you guys here who can at least hear it. Now, on to questions we go. We got a follow-up question from Tycho. Oh boy, Tannis. I bet we know where this is going.
Tycho's blog.
Yep. Yes. Dear RSBNB, 2 episodes ago I asked that if you were to take someone out on a date, where would you serve them for dinner? Shane replied that he would come back to me, and I think 14 days is enough. Time to know exactly what the perfect meal is, and as an added interest for making me wait, oh boy, it's extortion.
Uh-oh.
I want to know who the date would be. I'm sorry, but it has to be someone. Can't be without friends forever, right? But if we turn our heads towards the mining and smithing rework, there's one feature that I actually dislike and would like to have replaced, and that is the hopper, where you can store all your ore in bars. While I support the feature of the player-owned house's wardrobe, farming leprechauns, and tool belt for handy access to the right tools at the right location, I think it's a step taken too far. The hopper can hold a max stack of 2.1 billion ores and bars, which in my opinion would only be available in the player's bank. It's there where the player can hoard all their personal items after all. What do you think of this feature? Also, don't you think the smithing hopper could be replaced by having the ore box upgraded so it can store ores, store bars as well? That would give the more reason to upgrade the box, and with its large capacity, it wouldn't require the running to the bank as the skill requires today. I look forward to your answer, and happy scaping to you all. And that's something we actually forgot about. The ore box in the beta just appeared in your inventory. You actually need to create the ore box in the beta, and you can upgrade the ore box as you go to hold more ore. And that's why I didn't mention it, because I think it's something – I think this is actually a good feature. But let's handle the first part of the question first. And
so where are you taking Sirion for dinner, Shane?
I have no specific location, but let's just say a nice steakhouse. How's that?
That makes sense. I figured that's what you'd probably go for. Big, yeah. You know, westernly, manly man. Go have a steak.
Yep.
Steaky.
Yeah. Yep. I love my Alberta beef. You know, ranching is actually a very popular industry here. To the point where beef is, you know, a good factor cheaper than poultry, believe it or not.
So, what?
Yeah. Beef is cheaper than chicken here.
What? Yeah. Well, and how do you even have ranching? Like, don't they get cold? They're not too cold.
Animals
to be outside in.
Any professional rancher has buildings on their property that with heat and whatnot. And that's why recently with the carbon tax and whatnot, ranchers have been complaining because they need to pay it on their – because we use natural gas here to heat buildings and whatnot. So even ranchers are being hit by this because they need to pay for heating their stables and whatnot where they store the cows.
Well, they just need to start burning the poop, right? Can't you just burn manure?
There you go. That's a fishing escape for you.
Right. See? Yeah. Always a green solution, or brown in this case.
That is a brown solution.
Yeah, there you go. But I have no answer to the someone question, so there you go, Tycho. I bet he'll be back in 2 more weeks to get an answer to that one too.
You just tell him you'll take him to dinner, Shane.
Okay, it's you, Tycho. There we go.
He'll keep asking until you do.
Like, he just caught it. There you go.
All right, do you guys want to answer that one? I think that was specifically geared towards me.
Yeah, I think did I answer him already? I don't know, but I'm sure I would have said, obviously, I'm going to go to dinner with my wife, and we're either going to get a big steak or endless shrimp. Actually, tomorrow I think we're going to go get some endless shrimp. So
a little surf and turf, never hurt anybody.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I like that too. All right, how about you, Dave?
As for the someone, not really sure, but I would have to say I am a big Italian food guy. So pasta, lasagna, pizza, any sort of meal in that realm is a winner for me. So if I have any takers, you know how to reach.
All right. Here's my theory with the hopper. My theory with the hopper is that when the bank rework comes around, they're going to link the bank to the hopper.
That's an interesting point. I never thought of that. And I think you are 95% chance of being right.
Yeah, they'll just add a tab like they did with Django and everything else.
And the way the bank rework is going to go, you'll be able to choose and say, show me my search and see, create a tab for all my smithing items. And they'll show up, even though they're stored in this imaginary thing called the hopper.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe what they could do is re-engineer the hopper so that the ore is still in the bank, but then the hopper just pulls from the bank And that's the whole point of the bank rework when that inevitably arrives. So I think that having the Hopper right now is good because it gets players accustomed to the way that the bank rework is going to work and just distributing things throughout the game.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be good. Even if it doesn't go that way, I'm still a fan of it. Just because I feel like every time they do something like this and add space somewhere else, then that's that much less that they have to rework on the in the bank.
Yeah, and though to be fair, it will still need to be reworked because they can't touch the bank with the Hopper as it is right now.
Well, yeah, I guess that would be true.
From the understanding of it, the metal bank or the Hopper is effectively a specific kind of bank, just like the Leprechaun and whatnot. So it's disconnected now, but it will be there. And it'll be accessible from any anvil, furnace, or forge. So it's not overpowered because we're all smithing in the Artisan's Workshop right now because that's where the hub is in the beta, the smithing hub. But in reality, if you go to the Varrock anvils, you'll still have access to it, but you won't have access to the forge and furnace. So there you go. So I don't think it's too powerful in that regard.
I wouldn't mind if it was. Jeez. I mean, I thought it was kind of cool having everything together.
Yeah, yeah. I totally agree. And so I'm going to have to disagree with Tycho on this one. And, you know, in regards to the smithing hopper, could it be replaced by the ore box? You could do that. You could do that. But I think the reason we see just a general hopper that you can access everywhere is that this is – I'm going to make a big assumption here, and that's that this is going to be a lot simpler to implement for Jagex than having it in an item that you're storing all your ores and bars in. That you can potentially destroy. And then you have to answer the question, yeah. If I have ores and bars in this ore bar box, as Tycho mentioned, it's only an ore box in game right now, but if it were an ore and bar box, what happens when I destroy that?
What happens when you get killed out in the world and you drop
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
And you don't have anywhere else to put your stuff.
Ooh, that's a good question. We should test that with the ore box, see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it says it'll drop, but, I mean, that would be my concern. Like, you don't have anywhere that you could keep – anywhere else you could keep it. So yeah. You'd have to have it on you if you were going there to mine the stuff out there.
Yeah. And you could, the only thing that would really replace that would be to have, like, a coin pouch type thing. But then again, you're back in the realm of having an extension of your bank. And we're just kind of going full circle.
Exactly. Yep.
And you realize what's happening here, right?
They're doing things so we don't need a bank rework?
Precisely.
Yeah, we've been talking about that for a year now. I mean,
slowly,
they've been doing this.
Slowly, every item is going to get its own bank, and we're not even going to have a bank here in about 3 years. No.
Like, I have two or three rows of mining and smithing ores and bars that I can put in this hopper, or the metal bank, as they're calling it, and that's bank space that's free.
Yeah, man. I've been telling you, all I need is placeholders and call it a day.
I think there's many people that think like that too.
Pretty soon we'll have player owned restaurants. We can store all of our potions, all of our food, all of our
Alright.
Woo. I mean, you know.
And to boot, you could take Tycho for a date to your player owned restaurant.
Hell yeah, there you go.
Hell yeah. Mine's gonna be the first McDonald's in Gillinor. Come on down.
Oh, that's good. Pioneer the assembly line of burger making in RuneScape. So, you know, I think it's actually a very important feature, just summing this up, because it gets players accustomed to thinking of how life's going to be when or if the bank rework arrives. And I say if because I think we're at the point where we might not need a full bank rework, but it's something Jagex still probably wants to do because the bank is one of the oldest systems in the game. And if they can make it modern and, you know, make it all squeaky clean on the inside under the hood, that's still a good thing. But player wise, you know, just placeholders. And I think 80 to 90% of the player base will be fine with that. So,
yeah.
I believe we answered that question. I bet Tycho was hoping for more of a discussion on that, but nonetheless, I think we got the answer there. So
yeah, I mean, basically what I have to say is I definitely know what he means and where he's coming from. I can't say I disagree or agree, as we just kind of pointed out as we laid it out, but I know exactly what he's saying because I kind of had the same feelings too. I just really couldn't put it into words. So your question isn't lost on us, I guess, per se, but I definitely had that sort of same feeling. But, you know, I kind of, once I thought through it a little bit more and after having this conversation, I can see how it has its pros and cons.
So. Yep, definitely. All right. I'll just say then, before we move on to that, you know, we're touching all these other things. Like we said, we just scratched the surface, but talk about the ore box. So let's just I just want to have a moment to quickly tell everybody about the ore box. It's basically a bankable and tradable inventory item. It's like the coal bag, and when you fill it, it'll just store ore that you're mining, and it's a way to ensure that you can continue to AFK mine and not need to go to the bank as often as you do now. And it's effectively eliminating the coal trucks that we had in game before, but still, I mean, this works for every ore under the sun, so it's going to be a pretty good thing to do. Can only store core ores, drops on death in the wilderness if carried, and regardless if they're carrying the box, all ore in the box is dropped to the floor on unsafe deaths. So that's why you wouldn't want to expand the ore.
Yeah, you don't want to carry your
that
whole
is one hell
bank
of a right click loot escapade, if I do say
so. Yep.
So. And, you know, you can also continue to upgrade the ore box as you move on through it at the various levels. Each tier you move through it, and at the end it adds in each of those different ores, and you only need two of each bar to create your box. So two bronze, two iron, two steel in the previous box, and away you go. So it's actually a really simple thing to take, and I mean, you wouldn't want to necessarily carry that around to the furnace, because at that point it's just an extension of your inventory. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If you guys want to send questions in, you can email them to questions@rsbnb.com. You can also call or text 571-57BNB, which is 571-572-2632. And we're also on Twitter at rsbnb, where you can leave us questions or discussion topics. Send us a message or a DM, and we'll get your topic on the show. All right. Tech news time. Facebook.
Tech news. Again. Shane.
Yeah. So there is this massive piece in the New York Times. Delay, deny, and deflect. How Facebook's leaders fought through crisis. And basically what this goes through is it goes through September 2017 all the way up to this year, talking about all the various snafus that Facebook had. And what we ended up seeing in this article, it's very long and very drawn out, and there are some astoundingly disgusting things in here about Facebook that people need to be aware of in this regard. And
shocker.
You know, when it comes down to it, Facebook said they knew that Russians were buying ads and making fake troll posts and fake posts in general for the U.S. 2016 election well before they talked about it and brought it out. And the reason they didn't bring it out is because they didn't want people to think that they were helping the Democrats. But at the same time, the Democrats got mad at them because Facebook, in turn, took on an advisor who was – guess where this advisor was from?
Russia.
No. He was from the George W. Bush administration.
Oh, Karl Rove?
No. Let's see. What was his name? I'll find his name later in the article. But they took on this Republican advisor, and Democrats got more angry at that and so on and so forth. And the general sense that comes out of this article here is that rather than acting like a company, Facebook has become, in the United States, a corrupt political entity that, when cornered, or questioned, rightly or wrongly, by the media, by another company, by the government, rather than answering the questions and deploying solutions that helps its users, the company ignores them and goes on the attack for whoever, against whoever asked the question. And that's what's happening with Facebook right now in the United States and around the world. It's largely due to dynamics at play in the U.S., but it affects everyone in the world. And by the way, that advisor was Joel Kaplan. He served in the Bush administration.
See, I don't really see the political. I don't really see them being a political. It's about money. Well, like, I don't believe what they're saying at all.
I should rephrase what I said. They're not becoming a political entity. They're acting like one.
But all they really care about is the money. Yes. That's why they didn't stop it.
Yeah.
They were buying ads.
And, you know, it was a small amount of ads. And granted, that's still the core issue of what was happening here. But at the end of the day, rather than dealing with this, they go on the attack. And that's why I called them and I said they're acting like a political entity in this regard. And to give you an idea of how absurd this is, Apple CEO Tim Cook, in an interview with MSNBC, said, "We're not going to traffic in your personal life. Privacy to us is a human right." And because of that, and because of that comment, it was made as a decision inside the Facebook offices by Mark Zuckerberg that his management team was to only use Android phones after that statement. So that's what's happening inside Facebook about these various things. And the point is, if this is happening for a comment that Tim Cook makes in an interview without even mentioning Facebook, what does Facebook think of all the questions that are being asked by the government? What does Facebook think of all the questions that are being asked by Cambridge Analytica? And, you know, quite honestly, I think people have just started to scratch the surface with what's actually happening inside Facebook to a point where the full story is not out there. And, you know, this company is just becoming too big, too cumbersome, and, you know,
it's got too much information.
Too much information. Yes.
Where's Snowden when you need him?
Yeah. Too much information. And I mean, rather than dealing with these things, they are just fighting back, and they're not doing anything for their end users. And as you said, it's all about the data. It's all about the money at the end of the day. And people need to ask the question, are you comfortable with this kind of company having your personal data? And we've talked about the network effect before, where you can't cut the plug to Facebook because there are people on that network who you talk to, and that's the only way you talk to them. So you're not going to you're not going to pull the plug.
No, but people should be just as leery and upset about a corporation having all of your information as you would if the government had it.
Yep.
There's no difference. And people seem to have a cognitive dissonance when it comes to that.
Yeah. I don't know why. I mean, this article just boggles my mind. I went through the entire thing on it. And, you know, unfortunately, the way the media works, the mainstream media just likes to report technology news when there's a buzz headline. But this should have been, you know, within the top three stories of most national newscasts today. But it wasn't. And I would very much like to get rid of the Facebook account, but it's required for pages that I'm administrator of. So I just can't. And
yeah.
There's no cutting that cord for many, many people, and they just have you in the ecosystem. But I think everyone just needs to be aware of what's happening here with Facebook, and that's why this is here in tech news this week. Really bad. Really bad.
Yeah, until next week when we get something that's probably just as bad, because, I mean, if there's one thing that's been consistent this year, it's Facebook screwing people over.
Yeah, I think the entire management team at Facebook needs to go. Mark Zuckerberg needs to go, but that won't happen because he's got 60% of the controlling shares in the company.
Well, he's not a dummy, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dave, any thoughts?
Sounds like the same old, so yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but unfortunate as it is, it's true.
And we cannot delete Facebook.
No.
Yeah, because half of the reason is you trying to get a hold of my ass sometimes.
Yep. Anyways, so just give this a read if you're looking for something long and dim and depressing to read. It's there.
You ever feel, you know, it's like you just kind of want to shoot yourself in the foot and just kind of lay back and be depressed? Yes, give this a read. No, but in all seriousness, I think this sort of stuff is a lot more people should be educating themselves in this sort of thing, especially in an era where the amount of data that you sacrifice without knowing and the people that are collecting this data, I think it's you at least owe it to yourself to kind of know what is going on in that realm of the world. So,
yeah. And I mean, it's almost like if you want to affect change anymore, it's not even that we can do it through the political system. It's you need to go threaten Facebook's advertisers where they make their money. You do that, well, they'll change real quick.
Yeah, you cut off.
They'll change real fast.
That's like cutting an artery. So.
Yeah, and I mean, there's that. And there's also the fact that so many people get their news from Facebook. That's the more terrifying thing, is that people
never get your news from Facebook. I'm sorry.
It's in their feed. It's the most convenient place people are getting it.
Yeah, well.
And these people are in control of that.
I don't know. I guess I'm just someone that doesn't think you should get news from Facebook.
I wholly agree with you on that statement, but I just know there are people that do. So, all right. Next up, Microsoft has resumed the rollout of the Windows 10 October 2018 update. So, in early October, specifically October 9th, they pulled back on the Windows 10 October 2018 update because people were losing their data. There were cases where people's entire home folders would get wiped if they had their system configured in a specific way. As a result of that, they pulled the update, sent it back to the Windows insiders, and did more testing and are now releasing it this month. So there's very few new user-facing features for this update, but if your Windows update is taking a little while longer to complete than you're used to, this is why. And you know, I think this was the week I didn't do the show, but basically what happened is that through something called known folder redirection, if that was set up, files would still remain in the original old folder versus being moved to the new redirected location. And this is the case where you can change the actual locations of where your documents or your pictures folder sits on Windows. And in most cases, default cases, it's in C, users, your name, and then the folder name. But if you change that, there is a chance with this update that it would effectively wipe out anything that was in that home folder, because I don't know why, but that's what was happening with this Windows 10 Fall October 2018 update, and that's why it's rolling out this month rather than last month. And you know, that made some big headlines last month, but it has been fixed. So you see Windows 10 October 2018 update, it's okay. If you saw this in the news, you can let it install. And just in case you're wondering why in particular you're getting the October 2018 update in November, well, that's why. They had to pull it back and they're sending it out this month rather than back in October.
Wow. I dodged a bullet then, because I don't think my photos are in C. Huh.
Yeah. Like, if you had set your pictures folder to be on your E drive, for example, there was a chance that it would wipe your home folder.
Wow.
Yep. And I actually have a couple systems that are configured that way around here. And luckily I was away at the time and they were off. And I didn't try and install the update. That would have been bad. So.
Yeah, I bet.
But yeah, it's always a good reason to be careful with Windows 10 updates. But as per usual, this month's update will take a little while longer to install, and we'll bring you the October 2018 update. And our last piece of tech news is one that you put in, Tanis, regarding Love ROMs and Love Retro. They're avoiding trial by paying Nintendo over $12 million in a settlement. So
yes,
these are, this was a lawsuit that was filed by Nintendo against these two ROM site owners. And of course, for anyone wondering, ROMs are what people use to emulate old-fashioned Nintendo games.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So,
yeah, husband and wife and Nintendo. Yes, they have ads on their site, but I'm sure it's not very much. So they got hammered real hard. And it's had a chilling effect in the retro gaming world because a lot of sites have just taken their stuff down because they don't want to be in Nintendo's sites.
Yeah, and it's a lot like, you know, the first cases we saw in the early 2000s of the RIAA suing people who were downloading music for, you know, insane amounts for downloading one song. This is $12.2 million that this company had to pay in regards to this. So, and, you know, they wanted to obviously make an example out of them.
Yeah, so I think it's a bummer, but Nintendo, man, they're you can't mess with them, and they've done it before. They will continue to do it. So, it's too bad because like there's a lot of games that just they're not available. It's not like they have them on, through digital means. Some, but not all of them. So it's too bad.
You think Nintendo would use this as an opportunity to start up a retro gaming service on the Switch where you could play the old games like this?
They have some, but it's not nearly what I think it's not nearly enough, you know? And they haven't showed that they're going to add, you know, a lot more. I wish that was the case, you know? I mean, I would love to need to buy a Switch at some point. Although, let me not lie, I'm more of a collector in the retro game thing, so I like to have some of the original stuff, or I have one of the Super Retro Trio Pluses, what we talked about a couple weeks back, that will play various things, but I don't know. I mean, Nintendo has went after player-created games before, if it has anything that looks like their stuff. There was a Mario game that was unlicensed a while ago. It's real popular. They went after it. Nintendo they don't mess around. You can't even put, unless you're in a special program, you can't even have Nintendo on like YouTube. Or they'll come after your channel. Like it's.
And you think they'd know at this point that that's good publicity, you know? Just look at any of the big gaming channels out there.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, I've never understood it. I really never understood it, but that is how they are. So, I'm just saying, watch out for your ROMs.
Yeah. You know what people need to do for this, and this is going to make it a little bit more gray than it was before. They need to move to a distributed means of sending these files around, like a torrent system, and people just need to use VPNs.
Yeah, and that's the option. I mean, that's an option.
Yeah, but I mean, that removes the whole legality out of it. And, you know, in regards, if I was Nintendo, I'd see this as a huge business opportunity to start up their own ROM site, you know, and legalize the industry.
And they should. Because they have the means with the Nintendo, the Classic and the Super Nintendo Classic and the Switch. I mean, you have three platforms right there that you could be allowing to, you know, download the retro games legally, even if it was, you know, a dollar, a couple dollars a piece. They're not making the money on the second, third, fourth time someone buys, you know, the cartridge, right? Yeah. So instead of giving that away, they could be making it, but no, they're more concerned about crushing little people because, you know, they weren't making that much off no ad revenue on a ROM site. You know what I mean? There's this, this is no way.
Yeah, I agree. Well, it's unfortunate for that industry. Dave, have you ever delved into ROMs of old school Nintendo games?
Yes, actually. Super Nintendo. I kind of played around with it a little bit, and by a little bit, maybe I was kind of doing it for a couple of weeks, but nothing that I was like really long term into or like invested any money into.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Well, that wraps up tech news this week. Kind of a depressing tech news segment, but that's just the way it goes sometimes, right?
Sometimes. Hey, at least the robots aren't coming to get us yet.
Yeah. All right, skill of the month. Skill of the month's about to get interesting with Double XP Weekend, so disregard everything you're going to hear.
But it depends on who's actually cooking, right? I mean, who is going to give up summoning and Herblore to cook?
I don't know. Flash is currently in first place with 24.6 million XP gained. Tanis, you're in second with 23.2. And Sorensen has leveled off and is in third with 10.8 million XP. You think Sorensen will be seeing a spike from him on Double XP Weekend?
No, I think Sorensen got kicked in the teeth.
All right.
He's done. I mean, but then again, I don't know. Is he working on the Fortnite competition? Not yes. the Fortnite rune score. That's kind of what I thought might have happened, but I'm not going to admit that right now. I'm whooping his ass, and I'm going to continue to do that.
All right. So, we also got Brew Through in fourth with 4.8, and Sunset Fish in fifth with 2.6 million XP gained. And while you mention that, we'll actually take a look at the Achievement Bonanza Fortnite. That has started, and we currently got Wolfie in first place with 510 rune score gained, Sorensen 57 in second with 385, and Sirion in third with 235.
Damn, Sirion's in third?
Yep.
Nice job. Okay.
Yeah. And Chodo 3000 is in last with 5 rune score gained.
Hey, Chodo. If I had signed up, I would have had something because I got the Dailyscape achievement the other day for doing my cooking daily.
Right. What about the bank standing one? You get that one yet?
Nah, I stay at portables.
All right.
So, yeah. Nah.
Well, before we move on to our achievements, I want to take a moment and tell everybody about this Informer article that I penned called Unpacking the Financials of Jagex. And it's that time of year when the 2017 report got released in September. I wanted to do something on this, but October was RuneFest month, so we're seeing it now in November. And the accounting for the year ending December 31st, 2017 was released. And here's the top marker on this. Jagex made a profit of £43,546,491 in the year of 2017. And they did this with a revenue of £84,863,699. And what's interesting about this is that RuneScape 3 was responsible for about £53 million worth of revenue, while Old School was responsible for £32 million worth of revenue. So I go into the way this – what this means for the player base and the way the players have been distributed throughout the games, and then I ask some really important questions on this regarding reporting numbers and whether or not – well, I won't spoil what the big question is, but this is going to be a big controversial question for anyone who plays Old School RuneScape. So if you're at all interested in the way RuneScape 3 and Old School is going, head on over to informer.rsbnb.com and look for Unpacking the Financials of Jagex. All right, let's start with our achievements. What do we got? So starting off on November 14th, we have Phantom with 99 Smithing, obviously getting ready to work when the update drops. Arches with 120 Magic, on November 13th. Link V with 99 Slayer on the 13th of October. Phantom again with 99 Construction on November 12th. Torrid with 120 Magic on November 12th. And Omega got 120 Fishing on November 11th.
Our very own lovely Tana 79 got 120 Cooking November 11th. Very well done. I defend 99 Invention on November 10th. Itzy or Whitesy 99 Defense on November 10th. Cabej 120 Invention on November 9th. Torrid 120 Invention on November 8th. And I defend once again 99 Farming on November 8th.
Good job, everyone. We also have JAMO with 99 Farming on November 8th. We've got Ray 66 with 120 Mining on November 7th. Ray 66 with 120 Invention on November 7th. We also have Ray 66 with 99 Summoning on November 7th. Ray 66 with 99 Dungeoneering on the 7th. Ray again with 120 Attack on November 7th, and Ray with 120 Defense on November 7th. Wow. That is a lot of 120s and 99s.
That is one,
one person. Oh, shit. Whoa.
You think you'd save it for Double XP weekend?
Well, who knows what they're going to do if they did this on a week off of Double. Jeez.
Wow. All right. What do you got for pick of the week, Tanis?
So this week, I'm picking Battlefield 5. And the reason is I've been watching a lot of it, and it looks good. And it has a single-player campaign. So, yay! Yeah. But really what got me was just how good it looked. It looks, I don't know, like if you compared it to the Call of Duty World War II, this
World
one,
at War, just, the one after,
the last one that they did before Black Ops, right? Yeah. It looks really, really nice. I mean, I know it's confusing, like, because the last Battlefield was Battlefield 1, which was World War 1. This is World War 2, but it's Battlefield 5. I don't know. I don't get it. But it's good. You know, Battlefield's known for having the big maps, big matches, and multiplayer looks pretty good. It looks pretty fast paced, not quite as fast as like a Call of Duty, but it's cool. I like the attention to detail, like on the guns. They look worn, you know what I mean? Like, these aren't like nice, awesome looking guns. Like, these guns look like they belong on a battlefield in World War II. Like, they're kind of beat up and there's some rust on them, and like, I really like the little touches they did with that stuff.
Nice.
The vehicles all look really good. Overall, I just think they did a pretty good job on this game.
All right. And did it end up getting its Battlefield Battle Royale mode?
You know, I'm not sure, Shane. I didn't see anyone. I didn't see anyone doing that,
right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Of course. You know, with the streamers that I was watching, I didn't see them do that mode. So, I really don't know. Wow. My guess is probably everything else does. Just look up kitchen sink and.
Yeah, put everything in there that it has. So. The current target is 64 players in Battle Royale, Battlefield 5's Battle Royale mode. It's not going to release until March 2019.
Okay.
So,
not yet,
but it will. All right.
It will be.
Sounds good. So what have we been up to on RS or otherwise? Dave, you want to go first?
Yep, sure. You know, keeping busy with the ever-so-entertaining mini games for my Thaler requirement for Trim Completionist. It is one of three requirements I have left, including my Slayer Codex and my Statue of Rhiannon completions. So I'm just AFKing my heart away with the mini games, of which can be AFK'd, and provided that the activity meters aren't too harsh on me.
Oh, so. Bless your heart. Bless your heart for that.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, those mini games can certainly be a drag. All right. What are you plans for Double XP weekend?
Not as big plans as I've had in the past, like running spreadsheets type deal, but I'm definitely going to be on using up most of my leftover Protean materials. Like, I have, I think, about 1,500 bars. I have a lot of... I have a lot of planks that I do want to get rid of, and I think I'm just going to transfer all my logs to planks as well to get some pretty hefty amount of construction experience, because it's been a hot minute since I've trained that skill. So,
yeah, and that's the best way to do it. I mean, just use that. No. All right. How about you, Tanis?
Just cooking away.
Really? You're going to do cooking on a double XP weekend?
Oh, that's what you're talking – oh, I didn't mean to – that wasn't what I was – I didn't mean to say that.
Oh, right. You've been cooking. How about double XP?
I've been cooking.
I just jumped there because I knew you were cooking.
You just about let the cats out the bags. Okay. No, I'm not cooking at all on double XP. I've been cooking. I did kind of slow down a little bit once, like when I hit 120, because you have to. Once you get Gratz nerd at the portables, you kind of have to take a break. And I actually started getting into some other stuff. Actually, I'll tell you about after the show. It's kind of cool. Double XP. What the hell? Yeah, I'll probably cook some. Probably be cooking a little bit.
All right. Sounds good. As for me this week, mainly just doing some beta things and the mining and smithing beta, checking the farm. I'm currently at 184K beans out of 250K.
Oh.
Going for the title. Gotta have it. So that's my current objective. As for double XP weekend, I have over 9,000 potions stacked up that are going to be made. And fingers crossed, if the market works the way it's supposed to and the way I'm thinking, I won't lose very much making these potions. I'll be able to sell them back on the weekend and repeat until I get tired. Hopefully.
Very good. Okay.
And these are the super melee potions, or the ones you put in the combination potion. So that's what I'm going for with that. But aside from that, I do have, just since last double XP weekend, factoring in the Premier Vault and the Till Death Do Us Part, I have 3,250 protein cogs to use.
Oh, damn.
Just since last double XP weekend.
Ooh.
At the start of September. In terms of protein packs. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
And I haven't been trying to get them. I haven't bought any keys. I've just been doing the daily keys, doing Till Death Do Us Part, doing the postal boxes, doing the Premier Vault at the start of every month. And, yeah, it's amazing how these things just keep stacking and stacking and stacking up. So I was shocked when I saw how many that was going to be. So that'll be some nice down AFK time. And if assuming everything goes well, I won't max inadvertently like I did last time. So anyways, with that being said, that's it for this episode of RSBNB Update. Remember, we'll be doing our first RSBNB Update roundtable this Saturday at 10 p.m. game time or 5 p.m. Eastern in the RSBNB Discord at rsbnb.com/discord. You can also join us in our friends chat, Bits Bytes, for double XP weekend. Hang around, chat with us, and just share some XP gains with everyone. And with that being said, we'll see you next week for another episode of RSPNV Update. Thanks, guys.
See ya. Take care.